Well, we are continuing our study in the book of Daniel this morning in chapter 4. And this is another incredible chapter in the book of Daniel as we see God intervening in the affairs of men and showing Nebuchadnezzar that it is God who rules in the kingdoms of men and over the entire creation. I was thinking this week about the amount of information that we are exposed to in our world today, and most of it bad news. It's an astounding the amount of evil in our world, the corruption, the violence, the deception. And I often think about this in terms of our farm. Our home was built in the late 1800s as Finnish immigrants carved out a living from the rough land of the UP. And many families have lived and some died on our farm. And we met some ladies many years ago who came by our home and told us about how they'd grown up in our house in the 1930s and 40s. And we have a small home, only two bedrooms upstairs with a sort of a loft area. And these ladies told us that when they were young, there were eight girls in one room and five boys in the other. And their parents slept in that loft area. And they had an outhouse and a well pump, and they had a milk cow and some livestock. And they carved out a living in the rock and swamp in harsh winters and relative isolation on our farm. I was thinking about how different life was for them in the early 1900s. No television, probably didn't have a radio. They struggled, they played, they worked the land, they swam in the river, they put up wood and hay for the winter. Perhaps they got news from town or a neighbor, but lived their lives with the cares of the world that revolved around their farm and their family. How different it is for us today. We live with constant inundation of information, bad news, as our phones fill our minds with the evils of the world, constant, endless information, and we live with the burdens and cares not only of our farm or family, or a few friends and relatives, perhaps our local town, but with the cares of the whole world. It's an unnatural burden. The world is living under the curse, and evil men grow worse and worse, just as the scriptures promised. It's difficult to digest all the evils of our world. This recent news from Minneapolis has been a good example as we see violence, division, hate, ill motives of men. With all of the bad news from there of late, it's difficult to be encouraged, but I just read the other day that ICE found 3,364 unaccompanied children just in the operations in Minneapolis. Thousands upon thousands of children funneled into our country unaccompanied. And for what purpose? It's too dark to imagine. Child trafficking was up 25% in 2024 after 4 years of unmitigated immigration into our country. Arrests were made in Minneapolis for sexual assault against children, strong-arm rape and aggravated assault against family members, sexual assault and procuring a child for prostitution, just to mention a few. They found up to $9 billion in fraud just in Minneapolis for child care, autism care, medical care for the elderly. This is the kind of world in which we live. And these days we know about it, or at least we know what someone wants us to know. It's a constant stress, anxiety, fear, and confusion in our world today. How can we understand these things? How do we deal with such information continually coming at our minds? I wonder often how people do deal with all of this when they don't know the Lord. When they do not have the Word of God or the Encourager, the Comforter living in them, it appears from observation that they do not deal with their world very well apart from the Lord. Our text this morning is an encouragement to those of us who know the Lord, who have His revelation, His promises, who have the Holy Spirit to guide and encourage us, who have the hope that saves us from fear and doubt. Because our text this morning is set in the midst of pagan Babylon. And my friends, there's nothing new under the sun. The debauchery and wickedness of that world is no different than ours, and Daniel lived at the heart of it in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, a sovereign ruler who ruled with an iron fist at his every whim with no restraint. And yet in the midst of all this, God shows Daniel and Israel and Nebuchadnezzar himself as well as us that it is God who rules in the affairs of men. In the kingdoms of men. It is God who's able to put down the proud. It is God who is working out His will in His time. All things are not good in this world. In fact, this whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, and God allows the will of man, the wickedness, to persist for a time as He brings salvation to those who believe, patient, long-suffering. He's working out all things according to His will. He will bring His plans to pass and all things to consummation in Jesus Christ. The encouragement of our text this morning is that things are not out of control. God is sovereign. He sets up kings and He takes them down. He rules in the affairs of men. His will is brought to pass. God rules in the armies of heaven. God rules in the affairs of men. God rules over the kingdoms of men. And we see this vividly illustrated in Daniel 4 this morning. I want to start by reading the first 18 verses that we didn't read before. Daniel 4, 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are His signs and how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Well, this is our text for this morning. I gave you 3 points on your outline. First, Nebuchadnezzar's perspective of this vision, then Daniel's perspective, and third, God's perspective of this vision. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, at verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. We see this truth ever present in our day, growing in wickedness. But I just want to remind you that so did David. Turn to Psalm 37 with me, please. Psalm 37 at verse 1. And I want you to listen to these words, follow along with me, and take these words to heart. Think about applying them in your life. What is it that we should do in light of such a world in which we live? Psalm 37, verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Do you think he's trying to tell you something here? Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are upright of conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. The unrighteous on the earth has been a struggle for the children of God since the fall. We long for justice, and it seems that the wicked prosper in their way. But David says, do not fret. Do not fret when the wicked prosper in their way. Do not fret when they do evil things. Do not fret when they succeed in doing evil things. Listen to Psalm 73 at verse 2. It says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. He's observing all this wickedness, all this evil. He's losing heart. He's fretting. He says, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. This is his worldly perspective. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And there is their knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, when I looked at this world and I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. This is how we feel sometimes in our world. But listen to this. He says, it was too painful for me. I'd become discouraged. I'd begun to fret. It seems like the rich just succeed and they don't have any trouble, right? Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and there's none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. How can a man live in this world not knowing the Lord? Aren't you thankful that you know him? That you are in him and he is in you? His grace is sufficient for today and each day. His promises are for eternity. When we consider our text this morning, we see first the perspective of Nebuchadnezzar concerning this vision sent by God. The vision came to Nebuchadnezzar. He did not understand it. He was troubled in his spirit. It says that he was at ease in his palace. He was living his best life, ruling over his vast kingdom, enjoying the carnal things of the world. But then this troubling dream came to him, and no one could tell him what it meant. All his advisors were at a loss, as usual. So he sends for Daniel. From the king's perspective, all was great and wonderful in the world. King of the world, quite literally. He had it all, women and wine, the finest food, power and authority, riches, all that the pagan heart could want. And yet it was all a facade. It was all so vulnerable. We don't see it this way from a worldly perspective, as we saw from the psalmist. We see from our perspective that the rich have it all. Ease of life, no pain or suffering. But this is an illusion. They are troubled. They have no peace. They live in constant bondage to fear of death, to loss of their kingdom, their 401k. Their relationships are troubled and empty. The deception of Satan is in the striving. It's in the journey to the top. But the reality is, for those who make it to the top, they find no meaning, they find no peace, they find no settling of their soul in riches. And this is more than they can bear. We see it again and again. Robin Williams, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, just to name a few. The pursuit of the world ends in emptiness. And there's only a fleeting grasp on the things of this world. They soon, as the grass, shall wither. So Nebuchadnezzar's doing just fine, ruling in the moment, having it all, until this vision. And so Daniel interprets the dream, and we see it from Daniel's perspective, a man of God. Verse 19 of our text, it says, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, 'Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you.' Belteshazzar answered and said, 'My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies.'" This is not good, Daniel says. No matter how prosperous a man may appear, how much he may have in the way of riches or power, it's all hanging by a thread and will soon slip from his grasp. Verse 20, "The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him.'" I think this is 7 years. "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you till you know," here's the point, my friends, "till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." Daniel sees the truth. He has a right perspective on the kings of the earth and the kingdoms they possess. And I think this becomes more and more clear to him as he ages and matures and he lives through several kings. Certainly it'll become more clear in the next chapter with Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall. The futility of men, even kings. It is God who rules in the affairs of men, and all the riches and power in the world come to nothing at his command. This is the perspective that God wants us to have according to truth, according to his word. We can become enamored with the things of the world, the power or possessions of men, as if these things are something to be desired, sought after, or sacrificed for. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We need to be constantly renewing our minds to the truth, thinking God's thoughts and seeing things from his perspective. For the draw and enticement of the world is so strong continually in our lives. So we see the vision from the king's perspective, from Daniel's perspective. Now let's consider it from God's perspective. What is this all about? Verse 28 says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. So it's 12 months later. Perhaps he did be merciful to the poor and God lengthened his prosperity. I don't know what happened, but we're 12 months later. He's walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And that very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. So what is this all about? What is God doing here and why? Well, Nebuchadnezzar explains it to us when he has come to his senses. Look at verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Listen to this. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? They can't question him. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The humble are those who have a right perspective of who man is and who God is. There's never been a more powerful ruler than the head of gold, given more authority and dominion, and we could become charmed by such things. But we must remember, it is God who placed Nebuchadnezzar there and gave him authority and dominion and caused him to prosper. And for God's purposes, you remember the whole backstory with Necho and the Assyrians and Egypt and the Battle of Carchemish? And God did all that. He orchestrated all those details in order to bring Nebuchadnezzar to power in Babylon, the great kingdom of Babylon, for what? 70 years. Just to punish Israel, just to chasten his people, to accomplish his glory and his will. And when God had accomplished his will, he simply removed Babylon from power. And this is just a lesson in this truth. God rules in the affairs of men. He sets up kings and he takes them down. And God is able to put down the proud. There's a little horn to come. We will study this soon in the book of Daniel, and it says he speaks many pompous words against the God of heaven. He will be filled with pride, arrogant, blasphemous. And God, when he has accomplished his will for his people Israel through this little horn, he will judge him, and he will cast him into the lake of fire. It won't look like that in the time when he's here ruling, right? People will be filled with terror. There will be much death and persecution and disease and famine, and it will seem hopeless. But God has it under control. He tells us here in the book of Daniel what he's going to do. As Jesus judges the earth, easy for me to say, as Jesus judges the earth and takes back his righteous rule and sets up his kingdom in righteousness, he's going to do away with all these kingdoms. My friends, do not fret because of the wicked. Do not fret because of all the injustices of our world. Live in the land, do good, trust in the Lord, feed on his faithfulness. Do what is right. Speak the truth. Be faithful today. And know that God is in control. He rules in the affairs of men, and he accomplishes his will. It's difficult for us to even comprehend the wickedness of men and what goes on in this world. But it's almost unimaginable that God can be so patient and so long-suffering. The affront that the evil of this world is to his holiness, to his righteousness. But Peter tells us that God is not slack concerning the promise of his coming, but he is long-suffering and patient, not willing that any should perish. He wants men to know him, to come to him. But Peter says, the day of the Lord will come, and he will make things right and exercise justice and bring in the kingdom for his glory. You can trust him, my brother, my sister in Christ, for today, for tomorrow, for eternity. And that's really the message of the book of Daniel for us this morning, as we started in Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's Jesus that's been appointed all judgment, and he's our intercessor. He's the one who died for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes people say, well, I can stop believing. I say, well, are you a created thing? Because it says no created thing can separate us from the love of God. If you are in Christ, if you have believed Jesus and you have been born again and recreated and God lives in you and you are in him, all the promises in him are yes. And we have nothing to fear. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you record these events even all these years ago when the great King Nebuchadnezzar was troubled. And what an amazing event that his kingdom was taken from him and he was like a beast eating grass in a field for 7 years until he knew that you rule. You rule in heaven. You rule in the affairs of men. Father, we thank you that we are in you, that you are our Father, and that we know you, and that you are available to us, and your grace is sufficient, and your promises are forever. Thank you, Father. We praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.